Oh, yeah. You're going to be well prepared.
Yeah, just a tall man.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome to the October 9th, 2013 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. All commissioners are present except Commissioner Eckley, Luce, and Ray, and also present are the ex officio commissioners. Second item on the agenda is the consent agenda, including excusal of absences. I don't think there are any meeting minutes. And for administrative approvals, I move approval of consent agenda. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Consent agenda is approved. Item three on the agenda is design review for 625 Commerce Street, the Old City Hall, in the Old City Hall Historic District. Roof repair. I understand the owner's representative or owner is not going to be present. The city's representative will be present.
I'm here.
And you're here. And Lisa may join us.
And Lisa may join us as well from the Neighborhood Community Services, which is our code enforcement division. So this is an application the commission has heard coming. It's a little bit complicated how we got here. So I'm going to walk through the staff report and then try to address some of the different aspects of this application. So this is the roof of Old City Hall, and there's a picture of it was taken, I think probably, this one's probably from May. Actually, no, that's actually much more recent than that. It was at the end of summer. Old City Hall, constructed in 1892, is the first property added to the former Register of Historic Places in 1974. And since 2006, the property has been vacant while the ownership has attempted to obtain financing for a rehabilitation project. In 2010, during a severe cold snap, the sprinkler main froze and burst, flooding the interior of the building. Although the damage from the water has been cleaned up and abated, several other areas of concern have emerged, including a leaking roof on the northeast tower, potentially failing masonry on the west side of the building, lack of fire protection, and other substandard conditions. Since 2010, the building has been under derelict status under the Minimum Buildings and Structures Code, which is Tacoma Municipal Code Chapter 2.01. Recently, the city elevated this to dangerous status. As a result of this action, the owner and the city have negotiated a stipulated agreement to address the substandard conditions in the building. And that stipulated agreement is attached to the staff report. You see a legal document there that outlines the required repairs and timelines that go along with that. The first action in the stipulated agreement is a roof replacement on the northeast tower of the building, which has failed and is allowing water to enter the building, which is raising significant concerns about long-term decline. The owner has submitted the attached proposal in keeping with the agreement in which the following is proposed. Remove and store the existing barrel rolled copper roof. Inspect and anchor the existing copper cornice and soffit ornamental elements. Inspect and repair or replace as needed the existing roof decking material, so this would be the underlay. Install a tri-built self-sealing underlayment, so this would be the membrane that goes underneath, over the decking and underneath the roof cladding. Install a metal standing seam roof and a finish to be determined. I'll have more information on that in a second. Install new gutters where needed within the existing gutter system. And close the open soffits where material is missing with temporary measures. And I'll just add a little bit to that since I have had a conversation with the owner. And that is the temporary measures of closing the soffit will be just weather protection measures. And they will consist of CDX, probably blacked out or darkened, that will be in the soffit. Underneath, I'll show you actually right here. There's a couple of areas where the cornice piece is missing. And so up under here, it'll be sealed with a plywood that won't be seen from the street probably. But this right now is allowing weather to enter up, and it goes up into the rafters and then down back into the building under high wind. And this right here, these are the angle irons that supported the copper pieces that have either fallen off or blown off. And there's just two sections of that where this is the case.
Ruben, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Of clarification? The braces that are shown there, the steel braces, are those concealed by the, I don't know how else to call them, the corbels, the sort of deeper braces that show up in other views? Or is it concealed just by the cornice?
I'm try to...
So if you keep scrolling down through other views, right there.
Yes.
Those braces there, which drop lower...
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Where are those relative to the steel braces?
The steel braces that you saw in the previous picture are encased entirely in this area.
Okay.
And then there's additional work... where this is actually ornamental. This is, I think, the piece of copper that's actually anchored into the masonry that would have had one of those decorative elements coming down, the corbel is coming down, is missing now.
Okay, and as part of the work for this, all of that is being removed, including those corbels?
No. All of it is staying.
Stay on the building.
The only thing that this proposal removes, and that was a discussion that we were having before, is whether or not the cornice pieces would be removed, and that's an important distinction. What's being removed under this application is just the copper tile here and any existing membrane that's underneath it, and then where needed, the roof decking will be replaced, and that would be the wood sheathing that provides the structural support and attachment surface for the roof. That's the only thing, those are the only things that are going to be removed. Previously, the city had been talking about removing large sections of the cornice if needed. Under this proposal, they are not proposing to touch any of that. They're going to avoid it. And what they're going to do is they're going to field inspect as they get in there and then tie back things, tie them back on, tighten as needed. But they're not planning on removing any of that ornamental material.
And the sections that have already fallen off?
The sections that have already fallen off, they're going to not be replaced at this time, but they are going to, that's what I was going to say, they're going to put a piece of sheet material, like CDX, up underneath here to prevent water from entering the building through the soffit.
Okay.
So they're just going to close the soffit right there, and that will not be visible from down below.
Okay. Thank you.
The work in the stipulated agreement, we're on a fairly fast timeline. Trying to get performance on this agreement quickly so that the building can be taken care of and then the water will no longer be an issue. So if approved by the commission, this work is to be executed by November 4th and completed by December 20th. And somebody asked earlier about the weather window on that. And to my understanding, talking with roofers, once the membrane is down on the roof, that'll be the critical thing that's going to keep water out, and that can happen fairly quickly. And then they can begin attaching the cladding material on the outside, which will provide, you know, drainage and wind protection and things like that. Within the stipulated agreement, the owner also agrees to present a permanent restoration plan that's for the building and the roof and the cornice elements to the Landmarks Preservation Commission within 3 years. And that's a commitment that they have to not let this be the last conversation on the building. The city has consulted with roof repair and building envelope specialists regarding recommendations for addressing the roof issue. And there's general agreement that the roof, which appears to be original to the building, must be removed to address both water incursion and wind. And there's several areas where it's actually mechanically damaged. People have walked on it, and there's been some crushing and that sort of thing. And there's a lot of weathering and loose attachment on it. So in the staff report, I have a section called additional items. The staff has requested the following information be furnished to the commission at this meeting, and including the profile information for the metal roof, including the width between the roof seams, detailed drawings showing the roof gutter junction and gutter details, drawn details of the proposed treatment for the soffit where the cornice details are now missing, how it will be enclosed, and so forth, material samples of the proposed metal finish, and additional information regarding the documentation of the roof with additional cornice pieces will be removed. And so the response to that is, first of all, in the packet, the standing seam roof profile, I'll scroll up to it here, this is from the product cut sheet. This is the profile of it. They're proposing a 12-inch width, which is the minimum width for this product. And as sort of a approximation, that's a seam metal roof with a probably fairly similar reveal there. The roof and gutter junction in the cornice information was information that I asked for prior to discussing with them whether or not the cornice would be disturbed. And as they are currently planning the project, they are not planning to remove any of that material or disturb that. They're going to lay the roof down over the gutter as it exists now, which it folds up underneath the edge of the roof material. They're not going to remove it. Where there's large places where it's missing, they're going to fashion something just to bridge that gap. But the real focus is on the roof material itself. They're just going to reclad the roof and remembrane it and reclad it to prevent the water incursion. If there is a removal of materials on this building that goes beyond the actual roof tiles, there will be additional discussion with the owner prior to any of that happening. Other item with the material samples and colors, they indicated in their application that they had, and you can see it actually on the palette here, they called it, I think, a copper patina, which is a non-standard color through a vendor called Newray Metals, and there it is right there. Previous discussions with this commission have suggested that might not be the best approach, and I, from a professional perspective, I also agree that a faux weathered roof would probably look actually rather strange on the building, and suggested a more muted tone. They did deliver color material samples. I'm going to hand out the first one that the staff does not recommend, which is a bright, shiny copper. And to be clear, they're all the same, so we can pass them around. And the tape's on there just to protect my commissioners. That is a copper color engineered surface that will not ever patina. And so that would be a bright, shiny, copper-colored roof for forever of the lifespan of the roof. And then the second piece I'm going to hand out is called a cool weathered copper. And it's actually, depending on the light you're in, it'll look more green. Sometimes it looks more gray-brown. But that is a fairly muted color, and it's actually in the standard AEP span, which is the product that the sea metal roof is manufactured from. Let's see if I can find it. It might be this one, cool weathered copper right there.
Are we really anticipating this roof is going to be there longer than 5 years?
We can't say at this point. What's that?
I said, why can't you?
The objective here is to have a roof on the building that is functional. And to remove as small amount of material as possible. And I think probably with the added secondary objective, well, probably a significant part of it, but something that is at least architecturally tolerable from the design perspective. If you read through the timetable on the stipulated agreement, you'll notice that this application was due to come to the Landmarks Commission on October 9th. The Landmarks Commission, the permits have to be issued by the 23rd of October in order to conform to the agreement. Lisa Witanowicz is here also. She can talk a little bit about process if there's questions about that. So the action requested on this is to approval of the proposal to replace the existing roof and secure the cornice materials to the building. The Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation will apply, and I did want to note to the Commission, just for your information, that the preface to the standards, some of you will have seen this before, but that they are to be applied to specific rehabilitation projects in a reasonable manner, taking into consideration economic and technical feasibility. The standard itself reads, deteriorated historic features shall be repaired rather than replaced. Where the severity of deterioration requires replacement of a distinctive feature, the new shall match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities more possible materials. Replacement of missing features shall be substantiated by documentary, physical, or pictorial evidence. I'm going to run through the staff analysis really quickly, and then I'll be happy to attempt to answer any questions. So built in 1892-93, Old City Hall is an iconic historic building in Tacoma, listed on the National, State, and Local Registers of Historic Places, in addition to being the namesake of the Old City Hall Historic District. Old City Hall was the city of Tacoma's first designated landmark. Item 2, as a city landmark, exterior changes to the building require the review and approval of the Landmarks Preservation Commission prior to the work being performed or permits being issued per TMC 1305.047. Item 3, The proposed action is being undertaken under a stipulated agreement between the city and the property owner as a result of an enforcement action by the city to address multiple substandard conditions present on the property, including the failed roof. Item 4, according to building envelope consultants, repair of the roof is not feasible because there are multiple areas of failure and the tiles currently on the roof are not securely attached, meaning that more loss would be anticipated in high wind events. Repair from the underside, which is one thing that has been asked before, will not address water penetration through the roof and underlayment. Item 5, according to a report prepared by the city by Weatherhope and Associates, which is actually also attached to the staff report, and previously presented to the Preservation Commission, the original roof tiles could be custom reproduced, but the tooling may have to be made, and the cost is an estimated 2 to 3 times the cost of a standing seam assembly. Item 6, the proposed seam material will attempt to color match to the remaining copper. In general, flow finishes should be avoided. Colors such as weathered copper or dark bronze is preferable over architecturally or artificially patinated surface. Item 7, removal of the copper will be documented and the material will be stored to allow future restoration. Item 8, the ownership will address long-term design of the roof missing cornice elements within 3 years as a part of the stipulated agreement. Item 9, the existing remaining cornice copper elements will be retained and secured. I should add where they are now on the building in place. Item 10, the proposed action will address the water incursion into the building. So staff recommends approval of the application as presented and with the following caveats and notations. This approach is designed to address the ongoing issue of serious water incursion into the building. Based upon the input received, this represents the most economically and technically feasible approach to address the issue. And 3, materials will be salvaged and the owner is committed to returning to the commission to discuss future restoration. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. For discussion, do you want to join us?
Sure.
There is a piece of the stipulation that says that in 3 years the owner is going to come back with a permanent plan. Which you mentioned in the staff report and is also in the copy of the stipulation. So that sounds pretty good to me as I interpret it, which is that in 3 years they have to come back with a plan for the permanent restoration of the work on this tower. Is that interpretation of that part of the stipulation correct?
I would say yes, although that may include a bigger picture approach to the design of the building. So I don't know, like they're not committing to a specific course of action, they're committing to coming back to talk to the commission about the roof and the exterior of the building and the restoration plans, if that makes sense. The language does not say that they are committing to putting a copper tile roof back on the building. So,
or actually, that they're committing to do anything to present a plan, possibly.
Correct. I mean, if you have additional follow up on.
Well, that's the interpretation of this that bothers me a lot. Because it seems to me like what they have agreed to is to come back with a permanent plan. Now, the permanent plan may not be replace exactly as it was. I mean, you know, but that within 3 years, they will come back to this commission with a plan. And if they don't come back within 3 years with that plan, then the city has grounds to sue them.
Ask Lisa a question.
Because otherwise, it's just smoke and mirrors.
And I don't know if we... So tell me what your thought... And some of this, Ruben, we might have to come back on that. We've been working really close with legal. But when you talk about suing them for monetary damages, I mean, what kind of... When you say that term, what is your thought there?
Well, my thought is that we've talked about this at the commission, is that, you know, what leverage, if the commission approves this plan, which we see as a temporary plan, because of the ongoing conditions with the building, what leverage does the commission have to come back to the owner and say, okay, now we've got to move on. We've got to do something more than what we allowed you to do temporarily.
I totally agree. This would set a really bad precedent too. I mean, I understand it's a pretty permanent installation to put a roof on and something, but I can see this happening again, and we're stuck having approved something that we can't undo.
So I've discussed this with our legal department a bit, and how watertight, the agreement is, versus say the commission, putting a condition on any approval as a motion right now, which is also something legal said, you can do that too, and then it comes down to, well, if we're put to the in the position of enforcing or pursuing that, what's our will, to do that? Mm-hmm. And I will say, I guess, that as part of this process, going forward, trying to get the owner to the table, and also trying to get the owner to do it themselves rather than having the city do it, which will be actually, frankly, probably more invasive and a lot more expensive, I can tell you that. We've tried really hard to sort of draw a box around this. So what I guess the commission's hooks are, I would encourage the commission, if you do approve this application, which from a staff perspective, I do recommend with conditions, and I would put conditions on the motion. We can worry, I think, about how to meet some of those if it becomes a problem, but I definitely would include those in the motion. We can worry about that, but the other thing I guess I would say is that the other hooks that you have is that any rehab that goes forward in this project is going to be a tax advantage rehab, period. Any owner is going to do that.
Sure.
It's going to be both federal tax credit probably and also special tax valuation. And I think the stating intent with regard to those in the future also, I think, would be with this commission.
Can I ask if these owners were eligible for tax special tax valuation?
It would be.
And are they eligible now during this process to apply, or could that be placed in a moratorium until they put a permanent plan in effect?
So I can answer that. The special tax valuation program, which this commission has the direct authority over, among the things that the commission has to confirm with the historic building to approve the tax is both that it's eligible as a city landmark, that the work occurred in the proper time frame with the proper amount, and that three, that the work done was historically appropriate. And that says that in state law. And so this commission, for instance, could state a motion that said, this is not the, whatever you'd say it, like this, we don't think this meets the standards, but, for these reasons. And that would justify the commission saying, well, we aren't going to approve special tax valuation on this remedy. You could do that. There's a lot of squishy.
Wouldn't it make more sense that legal provided that the sort of terms of that? Because we could make these sort of recommendations for how we think that should be drafted up, but at the end of the day, if it's not proper legalese, I feel like I think we all know what we want to have done, but what's laid out here doesn't do that yet.
Well, okay, so I want to get back. I want to, first of all, I don't want to get down into the weeds too much about the stipulated agreement, the enforcement process we have with the city. That's important, but I do want to focus a little bit on the actual proposal. In terms, I don't know about this. I mean, I don't know with Lisa, what kinds of precedent there are for this. If we wanted to draft a separate independent legal agreement and have the owner sign it as part of a certificate of approval, I mean, that hasn't been done in the 10 years I've been here. There's been lots of conditions attached to projects, but I suppose that could be done. Whether or not it's practical and whether or not the owner would agree to it, I don't know. When I've talked to the commission previously, the reason why that language is in the stipulated agreement, the agreeing to return to the commission within 3 years, the documentation of storage, all of that is the result of the discussions that we've had a couple of times regarding this this building. But at the end of the day, this was an agreement that we had to arrive at in order to prevent the city from doing the work ourselves, and in which case the proposal is going to be similar. And I don't know if we have an agreement for returning in 3 years or not.
I think what I would feel more comfortable with is that no future permits or landmarks approvals are issued until a permanent replacement and restoration has gone through Landmarks Preservation Commission.
I'd have to check whether
and
or not
execute.
I understand, I would have to check to see whether or not that's legal, whether or not we can do that.
Okay. See, that's why I would have a problem putting it forward, because we might be putting forward something that may not even be legal or may have other issues with it, given that they've already laid out what the terms of their agreement are. So we're either in our own sort of what we think the terms should be, maybe in direct conflict with what the terms are that have already been reached in this agreement.
I think what you're saying, right, and I'm just looking at this again, and I'll get to what I'm reading here in just a second, but you're saying that if somehow the commission with conditions tonight agreed that as a temporary solution, however that's worded,
yes,
up to 3 years or whatever, we agree that this is a temporary solution. However, a long-term solution for the roof or any other exterior elements requires approval of this commission. Did I kind of get that in a nutshell, what you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, the three-year thing doesn't matter as much to me as that. I mean, theoretically, they shouldn't be allowed to do anything else with this property until this matter is resolved. And us allowing them to put a metal roof on provides no resolution to this matter, in my opinion. The resolution comes after they have presented what their final restoration and replacement is. This is just a temporary replacement. Therefore, we shouldn't be granting any more approvals of anything until they come back and resolve this matter.
They're not required to do a full restoration on the building. Like, the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation allow for changes to be made, and I think a preservation plan is a really good idea, and I'm uncomfortable, as everyone else is, with the fact that this roof is being removed, but I think what Ruben's trying to get at is the fact that the building needs to be weathertight, and unfortunately we're faced with having to review this proposal. I'm already much happier with the fact that all those cornice elements will remain on the building instead of everything being removed. I would agree, I would love more specific language to include in a motion that the following conditions apply, so that it's very unique to this specific circumstance. But I feel sort of like I don't know what other decision we have to, I don't know what else we can do, because the building needs to be weathertight. Unfortunately, it's come to this point. And hopefully with the new demolition by neglect ordinance that has been passed, this will be one of the last instances where previous steps could have been taken before we get to this point.
I guess I'm not clear then if this is being presented as a permanent solution or a temporary solution. And if this is a temporary solution, how does the language reflect that, in that a more permanent solution will be proposed and executed at a later date?
The answer is we don't know that. We just don't. I mean, the going through this process, our options, are, and this is from my perspective, have been somewhat limited. We have a roof that isn't weathertight. We have different ways that it can be addressed, mostly with different material approaches. On the one hand, a tooled, custom tooled tile, material, on down the continuum, down to a composition roof, which is on the north, on the south tower, which I think was probably put in the 1970s, and will be an issue. Having a building under dangerous buildings enforcement for being not weather tight with a property that does not have a rehabilitation plan and does not have a pro forma that is able to be financed at this point, we find ourselves in kind of a tight spot. And so I don't have necessarily a better solution. We tried to indicate intent in the agreements that we have. And I invite any sort of stipulations, or not stipulations, but conditions on a motion from this commission. Or if there's alternatives or some additional information the commission would like or anything like that, we can go and gather that and bring that back to the commission. But I don't like the solution. I like the building having open leaks in it, worse. And so this has been through the process of code enforcement, through the process of developing the stipulated agreement, negotiating that with the property owner, and trying to get a proposal together to the commission that is, if not even good, at least possible. To address that issue, that's been a sort of a complicated and difficult process. The city would not and could not put a copper roof on this building. And we have some ability to nudge or to attach hooks to things to bring the property owner back to have that discussion. It's very, very difficult to create a situation in which, barring anything else, they must and they will. It's just, and I can ask the legal department about like a moratorium on development permits. Unfortunately, I think that, because we went through this in the demolition by neglect code as well, that an out and out moratorium may have some constitutional problems with it. So I don't know that answer.
Ruben, can I just clarify a little bit too? Because I think you guys make a really good point. If you look on, you guys have the stipulated agreement, right? So if you look on the top of, page 4, that where it talks about all permit applications are to be submitted within 3 years, of the date of this stipulated order, and then all the remaining violations completed within 5 years of the stipulated order. So that's all that paragraph up at top. I think, Ruben, you're right that, if you look at the scope of the dangerous building complaint, it was the roof. We also asked and we had some concerns about, and I'm just talking about some of the exterior things that I know the commission is particularly concerned with, the mortar, the condition of the mortar, those types of things. Like Ruben said, in the confines of the dangerous building complaint, the scope of our authority was not to mandate a whole redevelopment of the property. So again, I think we tried to craft something that addressed some of the immediate concerns. I understand, having been here a few times now, that, you know, we don't like trying to put you guys in a position where, I mean, you're trying to keep the integrity of the building. So again, like Ruben said, anything that you think we can condition it and hold those folks, you know, accountable. I really feel like the city manager, the assistant city manager, we're really trying to do that at every step of the process. So if there's anything we can put in there, I know Ruben's really committed to trying to get as much as we can out of these folks within that confines of the dangerous building complaint. So I don't know if that, I mean, I just appreciate your, you know, your guys' feedback on this and making this as best we can moving forward, so.
So I just want to clarify that it's my understanding that the three-year limit and the five-year limit, all of that just applies to the roof area that we're talking about here. It's not for the other elements, or only the other elements that are specified in the dangerous building.
Yes, only the other elements that are in
exactly.
the dangerous building.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so when I say that there needs to be a plan that comes back to us, my interpretation of this, it's limited to those items and particularly to the roof. I'm not suggesting that they have to come back with...
Isn't this excluding elements other than the roof? It's saying things that were not included in this initial one have a timetable of 3 years. So it's saying, oh, we'll be more flexible with other items. And
like the interior stairway. I mean, there was a whole list of items.
Yeah.
If I understand the question, it's saying both. If you look at like item 12, in connection with the work described in paragraph 9, the Old City Hall agrees to present the Landmarks Preservation Commission with a plan for the permanent restoration of missing corners and gutter elements and architecturally appropriate roof material and design within the timelines outlined in section 9. So then you jump back to section 9 where it's talking about those other outstanding issues, if that makes sense. So the return to the commission is hung on the other issues that the Old City Hall has with the dangerous building complaint, which I apologize, I don't think I actually included the full dangerous building complaint in your materials so you can see what it is. I almost have it memorized.
So if we were to read that sentence that you just read us, Ruben,
mm-hmm.
It's saying that they agree to present LPC a plan for the permanent restoration of missing cornice and gutter elements and an architecturally appropriate roof material and design within the timelines outlined within Section 9 of this agreement.
Correct.
And it says permanent solution. So are we to state in... if we approve what they're presenting today, that what we're approving is a temporary solution?
You can state that.
Not a permanent solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that the permanent solution shall follow the timetable that's outlined in whatever we're calling this.
Stipulated
agreement in order. And that a replacement roof material and other improvements to this roof should be discussed with the permanent solution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we say further that the permanent solution will follow the Secretary of Interior standards?
Yes.
Yeah.
To incorporate salvageable materials where feasible. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
I think that's a great way to tie in, you know, what's already in here. So.
Someone else is going to say it.
I was like, I wasn't writing it down. But.
I'm really grateful that they're being responsible. It's the first time you say this, but it seemed like there was maybe not as much response for a while, and then I just really appreciate everything you guys have been doing because somehow it's worked, and
well, again, unfortunately, it like Ruben said, it got to this point. You always hope that people, you don't have to do a dangerous building action to get them to this point, but what it took in this case. So.
I mean, we're, the city as an organization is very concerned about this building and is therefore doing everything we can. Now, I will say that yes, they're being responsive, and instead of getting to the point where the city's doing the work, they're submitting and they have their own bids and so forth. They have a number of milestones yet to meet, and they have to meet those milestones in order to comply with the agreement. But I'm encouraged by where we're at now. So I don't want to, every single time it rains, the first thing that I think of, so is, you know, is not pleasant. So just leave it at that.
I think I would have been more encouraged if the owners had showed up at our meeting tonight.
I second that.
When I say grateful for responsiveness, like, I mean the real base level of
like sending a letter.
Yeah, like just acknowledgement, really.
That's fine. I think it would be in their best interest.
$5,000.
Ruben, do you think you could restate some of the conditions you've heard towards getting a resolution?
I can try.
Stipulations.
I would say that any the approval by the commission is conditioned upon meeting the requirements outlined in the stipulated agreement item 12 regarding return to the Landmarks Commission with the plan for the permanent restoration of missing cornice and gutter elements and an architecturally appropriate roof material and design guideline or design within the timelines that are indicated in item 9 of the stipulated agreement, that the proposed, that the future proposal shall comply with the Secretary of the Interior standards. Those were the two that were most recently mentioned. I would also offer up that the commission may want to say that that a permanent roof solution maybe a presentation of a permanent roof solution may be required for the purposes of a special tax valuation application for the commission to approve such an application.
I think that's good. The only word I didn't hear is that, I don't know if you want to say up front, we are approving a temporary solution and then go into all that.
Sound like that stipulation. I would second that.
There's a motion.
Who moved
the motion.
It?
You second it.
Who moved it? That's right.
All moved it.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. House. Seconded by Commissioner York. Discussion.
Just wanted to clarify that that included not using this copper color, that it would be this
cool weather copper.
Yeah.
I second that as well.
Any further discussion? So any discussion I think could think of would be, it seems like there's no point or advantage at this point trying to put any further timeline. Our goal is just to get a plan back from them at this point, hopefully within 3 years. So,
can I make one comment?
Sure.
And this is to staff, is that if we have to review things like this, which are legalese and attorney-like in the future, that maybe we could get whoever drafted it in terms of the attorney here so that we can better understand it, because none of us are attorneys.
I appreciate that. And
it's a great idea.
It was included as an informational item, so you can see what the timelines that they were being required to meet, but I understand that. And yes, if we present something that has a legal implication like this, I'll ask to have a legal representative available to help the commission understand.
Thank you.
Structure.
So we have a motion, fortunately. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is approved. Thank you. Thank you.
Good. This was
just a board briefing.
This was just a board briefing, and I think members of the ARC were here and aware of this, but I'll just go ahead and tell you where we're at. I haven't heard from him. I thought he asked after the ARC meeting to be put on the agenda. We don't have an application yet, so I'll have to follow up with him after this meeting to find out what's going on. But the long and the short of it is, here, I'll scroll it down here, as soon as I get past the pictures, is the Bostwick building. The property management team at the Bostwick building took their the mahogany storefronts within the past several weeks, used a penetrating oil-based primer and acrylic overcoat, and took what were previously varnished, these ones, the varnish is worn off or sanded off a little bit there, but previously clear-stained varnish storefronts, and painted them brown. And this is a Philippine mahogany that was part of the remodel of the Bostwick building in 1925. As far as I know, they have never been painted. They painted about half of them, the ones on the weather side of the St. Helens side of the building. I can say that the reason they did this was not malicious. They're severely weathered in some areas. The stain had failed and so forth. But they didn't make a decision about how to deal with that I would advise. Mr. Nicola, who's with Reader Property Management, came to the Architectural Review Committee to sort of explain what had happened and get some feedback from the commission. I don't need to take any more of your time, other than to explain the situation. The Architectural Review Committee requested additional information about both the possibility of removing paint, consulting with wood refinishing experts to find out if there were, you know, effective ways to seal the wood without having it be painted that would meet their maintenance desires. I think that they've been stained and varnished for 80 years, so they probably still could be stained and varnished in a feasible manner. And requested that they come back with more information. Now, since this picture was taken, they did paint the primer on these two, which that was something that at the Architecture Review Committee meeting was stated that, you know, weigh your risks. If you do that, just know that you may have to dig it all off. But at the same time, the weather window we're in right now, you don't want to have primed wood sitting out there all winter. So I will follow up with Reader Management and find out why they aren't here, and when we might see a proposal from them, and if they've had any opportunity to seek additional information. If not, then I may pursue this as a violation of the Landmarks Code. So, sir.
I did have an opportunity to talk with both the paint rep and the chemist from Sherwin-Williams about paint versus varnish, and they initially said that varnish does not have the expansion-contraction characteristics that paint does, and so what he was saying about the clear varnish is basically true, that it doesn't last, assuming one coat goes on over, it doesn't last nearly as long as the paint with its expansion-contraction characteristics. However, it also has been proven that with a multi-coat buildup on a clear varnish on a surface, you can gain those expansion contractions, and if they're willing to do basically four coats on there before they give up on the process, that they can gain that durability that will last as long as paint. So when he said that it couldn't be done and last that long, it was not entirely true. There is a level of dollars and that sort of thing that go into it, but you can put a clear finish on that and expect it to last as long as paint.
So I will have more information on this, hopefully at the next meeting when I get a hold of Reader Management. You know, it's one of those things. From a distance, they're brown, but as you know, people use mahogany for a reason. Usually not as a paint grade material. So I will provide you more when I have more.
Just thinking, one of the other thought I had after the ERC meeting is they created the condition by, of course, priming it near the end of the weather window, and now they've had to paint it. It seems like they've also, to some degree, created the condition that they're feeling a need to respond to so quickly by not doing the varnishing or maintenance over the years they've been managing the building. So I look forward to hearing more from that. My only comment. Any other comments on the Boswick building? Chair comments? We have the board business and preservation plan.
Commission will expect to speak in special tax valuation on those in the next meeting. We'll have a few of those anyways. And then I promise that you will see some minutes soon. You'll probably get a packet the size of a phone book in one of these mailings, and it will be all minutes. And so I have somebody working on those, but they're in a different department, and so they kind of fits and starts, but we're close. We're very close, and we'll not fall so far behind again. So, but I apologize for the delay. We're actively working on those.
Great. Anything else for the meeting?
A few months ago, I gave an update on Washington, and at that time stated that I could arrange a tour, kind of towards the end of selective demolition, for anybody that might be interested. One challenge with that is, the time. So we probably have to actually do it earlier in the day, as opposed to at this time, especially since it's starting to get darker sooner. And the contractor's not on site. So I talked with the school district today, and they were thinking that within the next 3 to 4 weeks would be a good time, if that's something that you guys would be interested in. There's a lot of exciting things going on in the inside, and you can start seeing the shape of the additions and the spaces that they're going to create around the historic building. There's a lot of things happening concurrently. It's crazy. There's a lot of stuff going on. So maybe I can touch base with you, Ruben,
sure,
as far as setting that up, if that's something that people would be interested in.
That'd be great.
I'd love to take a tour.
What happened to that section of roofing that's got pulled off there?
Oh, that's
trusses and all.
That's at the Oberville locations. So okay. Where the old 1906 roof came down. So that part will be riffed over, and then we'll take off the other part on the other side. Basically, we had to take the overbuilds out so we can get mechanical units and do structural and seismic upgrades up there.
Oh, okay. It was a hipped roof where the new roof.
They just framed right into that hipped roof in 48 and also in 1910 on the other side. So you'll see it on the other side as well.
If you guys haven't seen it, there's a big chunk out of a third of the roof.
Well, what was interesting about that is they were talking about not doing that until December, which was kind of a strange time to do it, because they were trying to get it to happen at the same time that they're going to put the mechanical units in. But they decided that they could just leave an opening where what we call kind of the cupolas, which is a misnomer, it's actually the ventilators. They're going to plug them in through those holes, which... not sure how that's going to happen, because these are really big units. I mean, one's like 28,000 pounds, so...
28,000?
Yeah, that's the heat exchanger that goes in the center. Yeah, so it's big.
Not 2,800, 28,000.
28,000. Yeah. Yeah, so they'll...
extra reinforcement there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got concrete shear walls going up all our stadium. So, they'll have underlayment going over soon. shingles, and there's going to be a 6 inches of rigid, and then airspace and sheathing, and then the asphalt shingles that are very similar to the color of the wood shakes will go on after that. But yeah, it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of like disturbing seeing it because it's like a big chunk taken out.
That's where the aluminum atrium was going to go, the glass and aluminum.
Right. That's right. But they're doing a lot of the repointing right now, too, and they're putting in the Helifix anchors. So they're doing a really good job there, getting a nice deep concave joint and using the same mortar color. In some ways, I don't like it as much because it doesn't have as much of a shadow line, but it protects the brick more to have, obviously, the concave. And I think they were originally concave, but it's just been so deteriorated over 100 or so years that it looks like more like a struck joint. But they're doing a really good job, and you can see some of the cornice work going on right now as well. So they're doing a really good job there as well. Got a coat of primer going up and doing exploratory stuff and repairing dentals and things like that as needed. But they'll paint it pretty soon as well. It's kind of like that'll be like a beigey type color. We actually found the samples, the original paint color up there. So found a lot of the original paint colors on the inside too, poking behind stuff. So it's gonna be pretty cool, pretty fast.
Wasn't there another school?
Yeah, that reminds me. Thank you. That was McCarver. Yeah, McCarver on October 16th. Project team from McCarver Elementary has invited the entire commission out to have a walkthrough to be introduced to the project and see the school. So I'm going to be sending out an agenda for that tomorrow, but that's October 16th, I believe, 5:30.
What time did you say?
5:30.
I think the big benefit for seeing that is you'll see the challenges to creating an accessible path into that building. I mean, it's an extremely just like Washington was. It's extremely challenged, so I'll be interested to see what the design team comes up with as far as getting into the building there.
Because we haven't seen that building before us, right?
No.
Okay.
It was nominated to the register not too long ago, but it hasn't come before the commission for any sort of rehab work.
Okay. So the walkthrough is just going to be of the existing conditions, or?
That's correct. Okay. They're going to start talking. They're going to talk a little bit about their project scope and some of their challenging areas, and just what I think one of the things they want the commission to have familiarity with the building and site, so that as they go through the design briefings, they'll have a good sense of the spaces that they're talking about. Besides this field trip,
who's the architect on that one?
DLR Group, up in Seattle. That's a really cool building. If you haven't been inside it. They've got a really cool kind of library/auditorium space that's aesthetically not pleasing at all, but it's kind of cool programmatically. Probably actually doesn't work very well, but I can imagine as a kid you'd really enjoy it. But behind all of that is the old auditorium, and so it'd be interesting to see what they do when they peel that away. Hopefully they do, but there's a lot of really cool things behind there.
When was McCarver built?
1924,
I think. Okay.
I think. I could be wrong. It's somewhere.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Richard.